and indeed the Siren News will be coming to us live at 5:45 from that location known as Studio 1B. Possibly in years to come, Lillian Lindsay, 1871 to 1960, the first woman dentist to qualify in Britain, lived there. A kind of plaque that really, you know, probably Eva McDonald will have one of those in years to come. And certainly Tessa Snart will. It's awesome. You know, I see you've been out and about on the streets of London again, Anna.
I have, yeah. There was a history day at Senate House on the ground floor, which is really, really good. I mean, I went to it last year, but this year was, like, much better than last year. There were far more stalls and far more interesting things to see. And I was there from about 10:30 till 4 o'clock when they finally kicked us all out.
As they tend
so
to do.
It was very
have you not
good,
got homes
yeah.
to go to? Have you not got things to do, etc.?
Yeah,
honestly,
exactly.
You graduates, you just go all over the place. But yes, the comment that was actually made by a certain Reg Langlois about the Lillian Lindsay line, which I'm sure, I mean, Natasha, were you aware of the first woman dentist to qualify in Britain? Was Lillian Lindsay?
It's not a name I can say springs to mind.
It has no idea. A bit of education. Lifelong learning, that's what it's all about. But as was pointed out there, why was the front door blocked up, you see? Blocked up just like that. Why was it blocked up?
Exactly. Well, it wasn't, you see. That's the strangest thing of all, because I then Google mapped it, and I did Google Street View, and that's actually the gap between the buildings where they put the plaque.
Yeah.
And if you actually, I think it's 23 Russell Square, that's the actual address of the plaque. And I think when they took Google took the photo, the plaque wasn't there. And I think the reason the plaque's been put there is because her home, which is somewhere else in London, was demolished. And the home where she was born had the plaque. And then, obviously, there was nothing to remember her by with the demolished building. So they must have decided, in their wisdom, to... Her birthplace plaque could come down with the building. But then they put one up there. So... No, it's not. It's a gap between the buildings, and I should tell Reg that.
Of course. And of course, given that it's a dentist, you would not expect to have any plaque at all. Oh, well, that's way forward. You know, you've got a blue one on there, please. You know, it was, obviously, oral hygiene was not great back in the days, you know, from that point of view. And following on from that, of course, you've got Bloomsbury's upmarket winos. For the Courvoisier. Tell us about the Courvoisier, not the cider.
Everywhere I go, well, it seems to be a problem in Jersey anyway, that the alcoholics have got less money to spend on booze. And there's a particular
tragic
graveyard.
Another tragedy. You know, there you are, an alcoholic. You say, "Have you got the money? Why don't you drink less alcohol? You might have more money." You go around. Sorry, it's just a public service thing.
Well, I think if alcoholics want to drink in public places, they'll go for what they can afford. And it originally in Jersey, well, when I was younger, it was stuff like wine that you'd find in bottles that were empty on street benches and things. But then
you speak
now
with
it's
too much
cider.
Sort of experience there. I mean, I know you're a graduate of the University of London, but I mean, is this what we've come down to now, actually, Anna? Seriously?
Well, I wonder if Knightsbridge or somewhere like Hampstead, whether they're winos that sit and consume vodka bottles, not vodka, but they probably go for champagne rather than... But Courvoisier seems a really bizarre thing to find an empty bottle of on a step in a building in Russell Square.
Let's just test it in Lincoln, because I believe that there are places, even in this fair city, or as Tessa would like to have it, small town, of Lincoln in England. Sorry, it's just wonderful. He's just describing where is Lincoln to American country singers who are in Newcastle, and they're saying it's a small town. let's just do a quick sort of round robin. Natasha, I'll come to you first, etc. I mean, you've experienced, obviously, Shanghai. Well, not Shanghai, yeah, Hong Kong. Was it Hong Kong?
Tokyo.
Tokyo.
Fine. As an English teacher, any Tokyo stuff that still resonates with your good self in terms of...
I think in terms
Domo Maragato, Mr. Roboto?
In terms of, like, the alcohol situation out there, I think there is definitely...
Sake.
There is definitely an issue with the local population.
Oh, really?
It's all down to sake, basically. I suppose it makes them sort of think of other things other than the Rugby World Cup. Seems so close as well, but never mind. So did England. Yeah, don't go there. Eva, in terms of your work as an entertainer and a general sort of all-round entertainer of good folk around the country, I'm sure that in your holiday camps you never have any alcohol problems whatsoever.
Well, actually, you do, because... myself.
No, of course not.
Because obviously we're always working.
Absolutely.
But no, I'm always facing, like, alcoholic people.
Several sheets to the wind is Eva's natural sort
of shape.
That's part
of the job, Alex.
She's always there. And the fact that every so often she grabs the microphone and says, I love you people so much.
Yeah,
I do.
Not me.
I really do. No.
That's not a good show.
Never
really
Eva.
Do that with
no,
the, in front
exactly,
of kids.
Exactly. So interesting. And Tessa, Deeping St. Nicholas surely can never have any sort of problems.
There's not even a pub there now.
Not
it's
even a pub
closed
there.
Down.
See, that's the way forward.
Gone.
Total abstinence. Total destruction of pubs.
Yep, I know.
No messing about in any way, shape or form. Let's turn briefly to Alex Bilton. Alex, back in the joys of Sheffield.
Yes.
Of course, now, of course, location for the launch of Jodie Whittaker's era of Doctor Who. Any sort of problems with respect to alcohol imbibing?
I wouldn't say alcohol. I mean, there's the other things, which I don't really think we can talk about.
Yeah. Tune in to Alex's breakfast show on Monday mornings between 8 and 10, is it? Or 8, 9,
8 and 10,
8
yeah.
and 10, exactly.
Yeah.
So if you want to have more of the sort of the inner sort of line in terms of habits that we can't talk about on Madrid Drive because yeah. we don't go there. And Beverly.
Yes.
As a dancer in Greece.
Oof.
Were there ever a sort of moment where you sort of thought, no, you really need to actually sort of sort this out?
No, never. Ever. Everyone was just merry and always drinking their ouzo.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you witness limoncello?
Oh, limoncello,
yeah,
that's Italian.
Yeah. But did you have it in Greece? Because I was over there and they had it there. It's quite nice. Mm. That's where I first tried it.
Ah.
Yeah, limoncello.
Once again, Anna, I think you've just launched us from dentists to wine on another sort of line. Who knows what Robin Pierce will actually make of this. We have William Coles coming up. We have a speechwriter and novelist, the wonderful Matt Hughes, coming up as well. We've got Els Bailey, Sarah Huntley, Zoe James and Mystery Voice and more. Would you like somebody to ask you those last two questions? And if so, would it be Natasha? Would it be Emily Boston, who so far has been very, very quiet because she's an English student. That's all right. She didn't do science fiction, so obviously she's ghettoised from that point of view. She would have, but she decided to do something else instead.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
But never mind, because she was recommended by Abigail LeMay, we thought, yeah. Okay, we'll go with that. Could be Emily, could be Natasha, could be Alex Bilton, could be Tessa, or indeed Eva or Beverly. Who would you wish to actually
I'll
ask?
I'll go for Tessa, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're
so, yeah.
You're so testing me now, Anna.
Straight in there.
Yes, I know.
I've got no headphones, so I'm just kind of listening through them.
Okay,
have you
really
enjoyed
well.
Your telephonic link with us this
I
evening?
I certainly have, thank you.
Brilliant. And will you be joining us again on the show soon?
I would be very, very pleased to do
very,
that.
Are you sure that Courvoisier was sort of... I mean, really? Really? No, 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 no. And of course they mean yes, yes, yes. No, they don't. They mean no. Let's be honest. Let's carry on with that whole line to our romantic novelist and person. Do you know what, Tess? I mean, the first thing William Coles actually said to you, and you probably need some headphones on to communicate with this because it's your first line back. He says the words. I mean, because you were listening last night and you can tell that I'm not hugely keen on getting connected with a blind date. You know, it's something which
this
I just thought,
true.
You know, I'll back on that. And yet he seems to be, it's like a mission. He's like a dog with a bone.
He's on it.
He's just literally consistently
on. He wants this to work. He's playing matchmaker.
William Coles, welcome to the production that is the Midweek Drive. How are you, sir?
I'm very chipper. Thank you so much for asking.
That's all right.
Why are you not doing this blind date?
What do you mean not do it? I haven't said I'm not. Look. Just to set the scene on this particular aspect, because Beverly hadn't even arrived in the studio last week. She was at some sort of research seminar about a chap who was actually writing about Russian ballet. I don't know. The sort of things that people will turn down in this. It's amazing. Well, Tessa, would you like to share what the situation was last week? Because I talked a bit about William Coles setting up this matchmaking thing.
I only heard a little bit.
Yeah.
So I know that much. I know.
And then out of the blue, completely left field.
I don't know how much I can say or what I can say.
Whatever. It's open door as far as I'm concerned. You know, I'm quite happy to sort of do work on that basis.
I caught the end of it, that you were being set up, or William had...
Set up is the line I'm initially sort of working.
William. You're in the process.
Maybe. Maybe
it's a
not.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, blindfold, everything on that sort of point. He's very much for it.
Maybe William, you should explain.
William, explain.
Yeah,
please.
No, I will explain. I will give you a little piece of wisdom from the greatest Roman emperor, Marcus Aurelius,
yes.
Who Alex will be a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
He came up with a number of brilliant things, but one of his best meditations was he said that the obstacle is the way, that in order to help your own evolution and emotional growth, you should start doing things that you don't want to do. This will make you stronger, Alex.
Stepping outside of the comfort zone. I mean, is that fair on the other individual, though, if you're basically sort of testing it, because like Nietzsche, what doesn't destroy you makes you stronger.
Virginia's going to love you.
See, he's got to make the first move.
Yeah, I've left a message on the voicemail. How much more can I do?
There you go.
You know, it's not my.
Write her a charming note. Why don't you write her a letter?
Key point. Nicely said, Natasha, because Natasha's got a ring on her finger.
It's
wonderful.
Natasha,
would you like to share how your fiance proposed?
I'm not sure he would like it if I did.
You're not mentioning his name. You know, it could be any Natasha and any fiance.
Basically, what we told our friends and family was that he came out to Japan to me and we proposed under cherry blossoms and it was all very romantic.
Yeah.
That is not what actually happened. So basically, he arrived quite late in the evening. He had the ring in his pocket and he was freaking out a little bit because he wanted to surprise me. So he got me to take him to the nearest park with cherry blossoms. I thought he was anxious to see the cherry blossoms and get photos before they died because it was very near the end of the season. So we're walking around this park and they have something called hanami in Japanese culture, which basically means getting drunk under the cherry blossoms. So we were surrounded
back to alcohol
in the dark.
Again, see what we're doing.
Right, you see, this is what I'm talking about. We're surrounded by cherry blossoms and very drunk Japanese people and a load of rubbish piled high because it's the end of the season, so everyone's been picnicking. And we sort of get into this dark alleyway and he's just like,
nice.
Oh, I'm really disappointed. I was going to propose to you this evening.
That
will go down in history.
That has got to be a topic for your next romantic novel, William, surely.
Has it still worked out? You're suggesting you. She said yes.
All the expectation of, you know, making it the most romantic moment of your life. But I think it's fine, you know, that... The only thing that's important is the actual marriage. All these people who are obsessed about the proposal or the wedding, it's irrelevant. So it's only, you know, a moment and a day. The marriage is the key.
One moment in time. And that's okay. William Cole speaking. He knows of what he says, clearly, because that's what he actually does. It's just wonderful. So, William, anything else you'd like to add? Because clearly, if there's the cherry blossoms and the rubbish, and the then, you know, obviously you had me at rubbish, didn't you? Kitty. I'm going to say standards.
There is one thing I'd like to ask. Can I ask the team what would be the sort of best thing to do, supposing you were on a blind date with a glamorous woman, what would be the best place to take her to? Or what would be the best activity to do?
This is sounding as though I'm putting a committee on this. All right, let's start off with Eva.
I'm a food person, so anywhere that's a good restaurant with food.
Okay.
Nice food.
Yeah, exactly. We're not doing the kind of, you know, the fast food scenario.
Oh, yeah. No, it'd be a nice meal.
No, it's very good. Not so. Emily.
I definitely say that I'm someone who enjoys a good activity.
You are from Essex.
Yes, so I enjoy a bit of fun. So I'd say something like mini golf followed by some cocktails, something quite fun.
You see,
that would be my ideal
there.
Day.
Yeah. You got your mini golf, you got your cocktails. You know, is it any wonder that, you know, she's a classic Essex girl?
We love you, Emily. It breaks the ice, though. It breaks the ice to do something fun, I think.
Yeah. Alex.
Yes. in a trance sense.
I know.
I'd probably take them for a nice meal out, maybe an Italian, and then head up and get some
Italian
cocktails.
As opposed to?
Well, I don't know.
Chinese?
Yeah, Chinese, sure.
Beverly.
Oh, a good meal, a couple of cocktails, and then the theatre. Enjoy together.
Yes.
I'm just taking this down. I mean, you know, at this stage, I mean, William said, write a letter. We use email these days, you know. It's still,
No, a letter will have class.
Oh, I see. Right. Tessa.
Well, I think it depends on the two people, but I would have gone with the
theatre. I have no idea who this Virginia is.
I know.
You know, is it Virginia McKenna? Is it, you know, it's a whole round of it. She could be an anonymous person. No, right. Oh, well, that's all right. That's narrowed the field down substantially. Thank you.
I would have gone with the theatre traditionally, or a picnic, something nice.
A picnic.
Maybe if it's nice weather.
In December.
I don't know. Not in December, but theatre, I think.
Actually, that though. Quite appeals to me. A picnic in December. Yeah,
picnic
I might look
December.
To that.
Mm.
Both the pool when it's frozen. Natasha.
I always said my perfect first date would be a day trip to the zoo, because you've got so much to talk about. It's good for conversation.
Captive animals?
Yeah.
Captive animals.
Yeah, and whatever the rhinoceroses get up to. It depends on the zoo, I suppose, really. Yeah, monkey, wolf, etc. Me and the kangaroo. Me and the elephant. We'll never forget you. Sorry, sorry moment there in terms of the zoo. Does that help, William? I mean, I'm saying, does it help?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously for you that I'm asking.
Is that so?
I've got a tip for you.
Yes.
You could try. This worked a few times with me. It's high
a few risk, times, eh? What, is this a serial romancer at work here?
Well, I mean, I had a few.
Carry on.
Okay, yeah. You take Virginia to the bingo hall, and either she doesn't like it, in which case it's fine, because she's not the wacky one for you, or she loves it, and she thinks you're a great guy.
Yeah, I've never been to one of those things. I mean, housey, please. There are certain sort of... Lord above. Okay.
Let's go with a nice meal.
The Lincoln bingo hall. She'll love it.
Yeah. A good show.
Again, as you may have gathered by my slight reluctance, I'm becoming less and less enamoured with this suggestion, which I have to say I never actually put forward in the first place. But there we are. In fact, I'm so tempted to actually just resume our lines with respect to our October 31st edition and simply say,
get out! Get out!
Exactly. Do you think she'd respond well to that if I said Virginia? Would that help? Maybe she's listening now. I don't know. Whatever. It's just a thought, though. Something to ponder on as we actually go through our life and times, etc., etc. William, it has been awesome. Beverly, would you like to put those last two questions to William Coles, please?
Yes, William, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have. Thank you so much for asking. And I just hope that next year we have some positive movement from Alex.
You sound as though it's like bowels, for goodness sakes. You know,
only you would say that.
Positive movement from Alex. Yes, you know, just use some... carry on, Beverly.
I'll find a good show he can take her to. And will you be joining us next week?
Yes, I want the update. Yes,
oh, Lord.
Great.
Suddenly a feature which I never intended to become a feature becomes a standard feature. It's just
you're never
going to
live it down, do you?
Well, that's like stepping through a time zone back to the 80s all over again. Paul McCartney and No More Lonely Nights. From whence we travel to Half Moon Bay, British Columbia. And are about to speak to an author of whom George R.R. Martin, yes, Natasha, George R.R. Martin has actually said he is criminally underrated. Criminally underrated. He has won the Arthur Ellis Award, he's been shortlisted for the Aurora Nebula, Philip K. Dick Endeavour Awards, the A. Van Vogt and Derringer Awards, he's been nominated for induction into the Canadian Science Fiction and Fantasy Association's Hall of Fame, and he's a speechwriter for a variety of fine folk, as well as writing fantasy, space opera and crime fiction. Well, that's the politics done. He's the awesome Matthew Hughes. How are you, Matt?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. Have you ever been tempted when you were writing for a politician in terms of, or let's say politicians, but speechwriters, to actually slip in a bit of science fiction? Because it seems as though we've got a president of the United States who says nothing but these days.
I suppose I did from time to time. I don't do speechwriting anymore. I'm now writing fiction. But back in the days when I was writing, especially for corporate executives, they always wanted to talk about the future.
Yeah.
And often I would make stuff up about the future we were going to live in, and most of it came true, as a matter of fact.
Finger on the pulse there. More than 30 years, 30 years, as one of Canada's leading speechwriters for political leaders and corporate executives. And since 2007, you've been travelling the world as an itinerant house-sitter. I believe you're actually house-sitting in Half Moon Bay as we speak to you. Is that right, Matt?
I am, and it's an absolutely beautiful day. The sky is blue. The gulls are flapping about. I saw a seal earlier on. Yeah, it's a lovely place.
This is wonderful.
It's one of the advantages of being a house sitter is you get to live in homes of millionaires.
I can see, you see, Tessa, an itinerant house sitter. You know, think about teaching. There's a line there.
Because house sitting, what does this entail? House sitting? Do you literally just sit there? I mean, this is amazing. This is a job.
Well, like babysitting, but without the screams,
just babysitting,
presumably.
In the house.
Well, what it is people are going away, and often they're not just concerned about the security of their house, but they're concerned about the animals they're going to leave behind, the pets. In this case, we have a rather wonderful spoiled cat to look after. So we come in, we arrange these things through a house-sitting service called TrustedHouseSitters.com. And we come in and we look after the place and we look after the animals, and normally we give the animals back often in better shape than we find them. Because we feed them and we love them, and this one, and now he was standoffish for the first couple of days, but now he's sitting on our laps and coming and rubbing against our legs when it's time to get fed.
Can I sign up? Exactly. This is amazing.
It ties in so much with our Welsh correspondent Robin Pearce, who has already dealt with finally meeting Boomer, a Malamute husky who's being rehomed with his daughter and Sean Alexander this very evening. There we are, Malamute husky there. Robin is actually meeting him. It's wonderful.
I can top that. In Northern Ireland, back in 2009, we looked after two huge wolfhounds, the smaller of which was 146 pounds, which I think is 10 stone 6. And the other one was somewhere over 200, because we didn't know how much over 200, because the vet's scale only went to 200, and he was beyond that.
He's
a lovely dog to look after.
A substantial beast.
Yes.
It's always difficult when you've got the very large dogs, because I do recall actually taking a St. Bernard once to hydrotherapy. And do you want hydrotherapy for canines? Yeah, so it's a place that took place just outside of York, actually. What happens in York sometimes, you know, it does take place. It was fine, but obviously there was a certain canine odour after it was sort of dry, which you just thought, So you need a little bit of sort of care with respect to the drying, in essence, as opposed to the driving, and obviously it's worthwhile considering.
My nan had a St. Bernard.
We try to keep them dry.
Yeah, it is. It's very important. Or at least give them that little bottle of brandy that they can actually sort of carry around with them. Or maybe not. We're going slightly off topic, because I want to talk about your historical novel with magical realism. So again, historical novel with magical realism, and we're talking about What the Wind Brings. Little summation: shipwrecked African slaves ally with indigenous peoples in Ecuador's coastal jungle to outfight and outthink Spanish conquistadors, finally winning an independence that lasts for centuries. We've been waiting for some alternate history to actually rewrite those things for quite some time, really. And it would seem that you've gone and done it, Matt, in the mid-16th century. Talk to us about what the wind brings.
Well, back in 1971, if you can believe it, I saw a footnote in a book I was reading in university. I went to Simon Fraser University in Canada, and it was a brief mention of shipwrecked African slaves who survived on the Ecuador coast and did quite well. So I thought, gosh, that would make a good historical novel. And I made fitful efforts. Back in those days, there was no internet, you know, it was all card files in university libraries and so on. I made some efforts to try to research it, but virtually all the scholarship was in Latin American academic journals in Spanish and in academic Spanish, and my Spanish is good enough to ask where the bathroom is, but not to read, you know, dense text.
Maybe that was the problem with the Spanish conquistadors. They were just asking where the bathroom is, and obviously
no,
the Aztecs were just confused.
No. Now, the problem with that story was...
They obviously thought child sacrifice.
Unknown. No, we're talking the Incas.
That's true. That's very
slightly
true.
Different. Yeah. They were milder. Anyway, I used to look into it off and on and try and get more information over the years, and I really waited more than 40 years to write this book, always thinking this would be my big book if I can ever get my head around what actually happened. And then good fortune was that as this century rolled on, more people in North American academic circles began to write about this, so I could actually find material to research it. And then finally, in about 2013, 2014, the Canada Council for the Arts gave me a $25,000 grant to sit down and write the thing, and I did.
And the world is a better place.
It turned out to be a big fat book.
Yeah, fantastic. So you see, Beverly, that magnum opus on dancing is just around the corner. Exactly. Creative
writing. Get the grant.
Get the grant. Wasn't that a long process, though?
Questions, Beverly, apart from how to get the grant, because it's Canada as opposed to Britain, for Matthew.
Yeah. No, I just think it's incredible that you have a seed and you know it's there, but you don't know when it's going to come into fruition, and then you find. It's all about timing. I think it's incredible.
Well, it also helped that between the seed and the flower was, 40 years of writing for a living and writing novels later on, so that by the time I sat down to do it, I kind of knew what I was doing. And that helped quite a bit.
40 years of practice, I'm
but,
sure.
Yeah.
40 years.
The way I did it was to have the characters kind of grow out of me. I'm not one of those people who outlines a lot. I become the characters as I'm writing. And in this case, one of them who became the actual linchpin of the story is a hermaphroditic, or today we would say intersex, indigenous shaman. Somebody who can do trips into the underworld and the overworld and recover lost spirits and that kind of thing, which is where the magical realism comes into it.
There's nothing wrong with a bit of magical realism. Let's bring in our English undergraduate, Emily Bostonis. Emily, what you've heard, is this a book that you sort of think, yes, when I can actually start reading books for pleasure again, as opposed to my tutor saying I have to read them, this is what I'm going to go for?
Yes, I'm actually really interested by your book because, funnily enough, my dissertation is actually on post-colonialism. So I'm writing about a Shea-based South African trilogy, and it's all about the Igbo society. So I'm really intrigued by your book. And in regards to it, is this a topic that you enjoy? Is this a book that's out soon that we can find?
Yes, there was a hardcover limited edition, only 100 copies or so, that came out in October. But the actual launch of a trade paperback and an e-book will be December 15 in Vancouver. After that, it should be available on Amazon and anywhere. Well, you should be able to go into any bookstore and order it if they don't already have it.
Just in time, you see.
Yeah, my sister actually lives in Vancouver as a ski instructor, so I'll get her to pick it up for me and let me know how it is.
Emily, you know...
We seem to time him well.
People say that this show is just thrown together. No, there's a case in point of how the universe will map itself out and structure on that basis. Very good. And looking at your website, of course, Arcanate, the fiction of Matthew Hughes. I love the sort of line, welcome to the webpage of Matthew Hughes, science fiction and fantasy author. If you're looking for Matt Hughes, the crime writer, you're in the right place. Same goes for Hugh Matthews. See what I did there? Yeah, Matt Hughes, Hugh Matthews, who writes media tie-ins. Do you have a particular preference in terms of personas? Are there days when you wake up in the morning and you say, today I'm more in a Hugh Matthews mode, and then you switch to Matt Hughes by the time lunchtime's hit?
Well, I think we're all actually the same person, but I do have a fragmented psyche. I am aware of that for many, many years. But it does tend to come together when I'm writing stuff. I'm not sure why, which is how I become my characters as I write them.
Well, we go back to Zeus and that ancient Greek philosophy that effectively we were all one until Zeus decided to slash us apart and became male and
there
female and different variations. We could go into Taoism, we could do all sorts of other areas, and in every case, actually going to a bingo hall on the first date would not be an option. But that's for another story, for another time, earlier in the production. Tessa, any thoughts or questions for yourself?
Yeah, I think as a writer, do you set specific time aside, or do you have to write when you're feeling, I don't know, compelled to write, and it, when the inspiration to you?
When I was a professional, when I was writing speeches, I had a family to feed, and it was bum in seat, fingers on keyboard, get the thing out, get paid. Now that I'm writing fiction, and also I'm old, I'm 70 years old now, I'm not as hurried as I used to be. I tend to sit down when it's convenient to do it, usually in the afternoon, and I work for 2 or 3 hours, and I'll do 500 to 1,000 words. And that seems to be enough. I'll do that. When I'm doing a novel, I will do that maybe 4 days out of a week. And after 3 months, I have a draft.
And interesting enough, if you're an aspiring author or indeed an established pro who needs a copy or developmental editor, you're also offering that service as well. Is that international, Matt? For instance, when The Great Dance Book, which I know will be written by Beverly Spencer someday, is produced, would you proofread that? Is it an international line?
I'm not a proofreader.
Oh, but
I am a copy editor sometimes. Mostly I'm what they call a developmental editor. Oh. People send me manuscripts, and I look at them in terms of story mechanics and structure and say, well, this works and this doesn't work. This character is superfluous and should be blended into that character in order to make a more cohesive story.
Holistic.
And one with good flow.
Yeah. And that's why George R.R. Martin said, Hap Thorne's picaresque adventures, an adroit blend of sci-fi and fantasy, pay homage both to Vance's, that's Jack Vance's, Dying Earth fantasies, and his classic Demon Princess future history. A tremendous, tremendous amount of fun. Very good.
Well, George is a fan of my work.
Yeah.
He, in addition to doing Game of Thrones and all that he's known for, he also has edited several anthologies over the past several years, often in partnership with Gardner Dozawa, who was a great American editor and writer.
Transcended and passed away a few months ago, actually.
He died a year or so ago. Yeah. And George has bought, I think, 4 or 5 stories off me for those anthologies, including one which was called Songs of the Dying Earth, and which was a tribute anthology to Jack Vance, who is the author I most revere.
I was also pleased to see that you're publishing Asimov's, which I have a personal subscription to. It's always nice to receive, in electronic form at least, the memento that Isaac Asimov obviously still kicks into place with his monthlies and so on.
Let me recommend the Magazine of Fantasy and Science Fiction, which is the grand old magazine of the genre, still publishing after 70 years continuously. I do a lot in there. I think I've sold them 40 stories over the past 15 years.
All those dreams,
Matthew. I always like to give them a plug.
All those dreams, all those wonderful things, the wordsmiths that actually give life meaning. It's time you actually took over some of the speechwriters for some of our current politicians. No names, but in the middle of a general election, who knows what could happen. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us, Matthew Hughes? Has it been okay for you, sir?
It has been, yes.
Well, then the next critical question is, can we prevail upon you sometime in the not-too-distant future, maybe when you turn 71 or thereabouts, would you be kind enough to join us again?
I'd be happy to.
I think that's a round of applause. A round of applause for Matthew Hughes. An all-round wonderful Canadian writer and person. Sorry, we were just cutting off. We had the pipes come in, but I just heard. What would you like to say?
I am a Canadian author, but I was born in Wavertree in a council house in Liverpool.
Wow.
So
wow.
I'm also British.
That, you see, you know, that was worth stopping EB44 and also connected with Paul McCartney, who is also British, yep. So I've heard. Hey-ho.
Yes, I think George Harrison's house was only about a mile from where I was born.
And so we've spoken to George Harrison's sister as well. It all fits together in a kind of strange and wonderful way. We will speak again. Matthew, take care. Happy trails.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
What you were told and you took the step. Been left out in the cold, got yourself to blame. But believe me, if it happens again, I'm leaving. If it stays the same, I'm gone. When you're stabbed in the back and the salt in the wind, then it's time to move along. If it happens again, I'm leaving. I'm back on my things and rubbed in the dirt and true for everyone. But believe me, if it happens again, I'm leaving. If it stays the same, I'm gone. When it compromises, the sign that you sing has been going on too long. If it happens again, I'm leaving. I'm back in my things and gone. If it happens again, there'll be no looking back. And I won't say
again, it could be a state of permanent deja vu, or maybe not. No, we haven't forgotten about Tessa Snart's tune of the week. Her top tune will be That's by Lisa Redford, just in case you're wondering. She's in the studio. That doesn't mean to say there's no Tessa Snart's tune of the week. It'll be happening. We've got a mystery voice, we've got Els Bailey, we've got Sarah Huntley and Robin Pierce. All this and more on the Midweek Drive. And with UB40 doing their stuff in the background as the time just ticks by dexterously, calmly, wonderfully to that inexorable moment where we say it's 5:45, it's time for the news. And thank you to Brittany and thank you to Chelsea. Brittany Yang, one of my tutees. Great, it's great to see you doing that and also reporting on Ipswich Town. That is, quite frankly, just awesome. Quite frankly, awesome. Good luck to Lincoln City, of course, who play Ipswich Town as Brittany's just referred to. In the FA Cup, I know it's a different sport for your good self, Natasha, but don't worry, it's a FA Cup, it's about football.
No idea.
Okay, here's Elton.
Who are
Hey, this is Els Bailey. You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren Radio.
Quite clearly the quality in which she delivered that jingle ident was just so impressive. Els Bailey, she knows how to nail that ident in one. Don't you, Els Bailey? Exactly.
I think so, now, maybe.
And you're coming to Lincoln?
Yay!
You're coming to Lincoln? No, it just gets more... And I've got to say, I mean, maybe I'm just building this up just a No, it couldn't possibly be. But When I Go Away, which we're about to hear in a few moments, is probably the best Els Bailey track I've heard in many... I mean, and I never thought you could actually beat some of the material you put together. I mean, the whole essence of Howling Wolf, which, as you know, channeled my inner lycanthropic tendencies. I used to be a werewolf, but I'm all right. No! Obviously not about werewolves, in case you're wondering. And the whole The Girl Who Owned the Blues, or you say Time's a Healer. But this one, shall I introduce you? It's Els Bailey, and in the studio, six fine folk, one of whom you've co-hosted with before. It's Tessa Snott.
Hi, Els.
Hi, babe. How are you?
I'm really good. Are you? It's been a while.
I know. It's been a while. Oh, it's nice to hear from you.
Exactly. I was glad when I saw your name on the schedule. I was like, oh, Els.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a way forward. And this very day, Els, we've produced two Sound and Country Visions. Yeah. All virtually perfect shows, apart from the fact that not featuring yourself. We need to book you in.
I know, we do. I need to place
Maybe Els could join us for our Christmas show.
If she's free, she's more than welcome.
But let's talk about where we can see Els Bailey in Lincoln, because we need to work through that process. So talk to us about your touring stuff, please, Els.
So I've got about six dates left of my UK tour. I'm playing at Curtin and Lindsay, which is a full headline show, which is about half an hour north of Lincoln, on the 14th of December. And then I am I'm opening for King King at the King King Christmas Party at the Engine
Shed.
Room?
Shed. Engine Shed.
Engine shed.
Yeah.
Shed.
I mean, the engine room.
I got it wrong on my boat.
Yeah. No, it's our engine shed. They get, you know, citizens of Lincoln, sometimes they get a bit tetchy about these things, Els. Don't worry, you know. It's, what happened to Kerry Katona, I guarantee, will not happen to you in any way, shape, or form. She's not going to come back, is she? Never mind. Atomic Kitten and all that. Still, also in the studio, we have Beverly Spencer.
Hello.
And Eva MacDonald.
Hello.
And Natasha Armstrong.
Hello.
And Alex Bilton.
Hello.
And Emily Boston.
Hello.
Emily's from Essex, so you know it's always good for that. Listen, I think we're ready for this. Els, would you like to introduce your latest piece of fantastic individual? Which, I mean, you're not going away quite yet because we'll have a brief chat afterwards. But would you like to introduce this particular number, which is just it's just packed full of goodness? I tell you, if Robin, I know obviously
He's
Tessa
got to love Els. Yeah, I mean, you can't not.
I would have thought so. I mean, I know your choice of top tune this week is going to be Lisa Redford. That's coming up soon, but. Els, would you like to introduce this next awesome number?
Yeah, so this is my version of Levon Helm's When I Go Away.
Well, early in the morning when the church bell the choir gonna sing and the hearse will roll on down to the graveyard where it's cold and gray. But then the sun's gonna shine through the shadow when I go away. I don't want no sorrow for this old orphan boy. I don't want no crying, only tears of joy. I'm gonna see my mother, I'm gonna see my father, and I'll be bound for glory in the morning when I go away. Well, I'll be lifted up to the clouds on the wings of the angels. Flesh and bones in the even my trial. And I'll be bound for glory in the morning when I go away. When the sun's gonna shine through the shadow when I go away. Oh, my king. Yes, see beyond the dark cloud, we're gonna meet up there. And when they lay me in the cold ground, oh, bow your head and pray. And I'll be bound for glory in the morning when I go away. When the sun's gonna shine through the shadow.
I'd even go a couple of stages further and say if England had only used When I Go Away as opposed to Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, they probably would have actually come on with the World Cup. It's that strong a song. Yeah. I'm gonna lift me up and down. Well, let's find out what the team thought. Let's start off with other Alex in the studio. Alex, what did you think of When I Go Away?
Yeah, I thought it was a really nice song, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Will you be playing it on your breakfast show on Monday?
Yeah, I can do.
Good, I'll make sure that's all. I've just realised, Elsa, I didn't like on Facebook your on tour, Road I Call Home tour, which I just have. I thought that.
Aww.
Anyway, I've done that now. Eva, what did you make of it?
I like the sway sound of it, the rocking sway sound of it. It's quite catchy.
Delivered awesome. Delivered live. That's going to be more spectacular. Will you be doing a live version at the Engine Shed?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be something, isn't it, Tessa?
It will be, yeah.
Would you be featuring it on Sound and Country Vision?
Oh, most definitely.
Absolutely.
Of course I will. I love that. I really like that. But then, I like your soulfulness and, the gruffness of your voice.
You know,
so.
The thought of actually Elle's producing anything that Tessa doesn't
she's
like.
She's very good.
She's awesome.
You can go and see her.
And Curtin, Lindsay, or indeed the Engine Shed in Lincoln, close by. Beverly.
Yes.
What did you make of?
Great stuff.
It's looking good.
Yes.
Natasha?
Yeah, I was fighting the urge not to have a little bit of a boogie to that because the beat was just so appetizing.
It was funky, wasn't it? Yeah.
You just sink your teeth into it. It was great.
I mean, just looking at that Facebook thing, just to see how she's working that audience there, it's amazing. You know, she's Els Bailey rules.
She's so busy.
Hence the reason, as I said, it's all very well, Sir Elton John. We should have Dame Els Bailey. New Year's honours. Emily Boston, what were your thoughts on Els's little number there?
Yeah, I thought it was a great song. And I noticed as well, your next tour date is in Basildon, I believe, which is near me. And I know the actual venue, so it's really good fun and you'll have a great time. So.
Oh, thanks. Yay.
Just shows how Essex connects with the world as well. From that venue. I've got to ask the question, Emily. Do you actually, in that particular venue, have white stilettos and handbags that you dance around as
well? I wouldn't actually know, to be honest. No.
I'll put that to somebody else. This is a cliche of the time, really, in terms of Essex girls. Marvellous. Els, who would you like to ask you those last two questions? Would it be other Alex, that's Bilton? Would it be Natasha Armstrong? Back briefly before she heads off again, possibly to different parts of the world, who knows? Emily Boston, Tessa Snart, Beverly Spencer, or Eva McDonald? It's your choice.
Going to have to be Tessa.
I thought so. I had a feeling. Yeah, exactly. Go for it, Tessa.
Else, we will have to catch up and I'll play that song on my show for you anyway. have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Of course I have.
Brilliant. And will you join us on the show again sometime soon?
Yes, of course I will.
Of course, exactly. See, that's the line. It's just obvious. Tessa's been sort of throwing various creative wobblies and saying, oh, no, she's too blues for me, basically. It's all good.
Never too much blues.
It'll happen. Els Bailey. Also, round of applause for Els Bailey, please.
Yay!
And meanwhile, back in Putin's Russia... enough. Sarah Huntley, do you find that all the things she said keep running through your head, running through your head, running through your head?
Oh, constantly, yeah. Constantly.
It's the way forward. Sarah, welcome to the Midweek Drive, which has been a bit of a reunion Midweek Drive today because we've got Tessa Snart back with us.
Hello.
Yay. We've got Eva McDonald back with us.
Hello.
Entertainer, back to peak fitness. Well, almost, because 2 weeks almost. From now she's going to be a head elf. I'll say that again, Sarah. Eva's going to be head elf, in charge of other elves. What's that going to do for elf and safety?
Oh, well, I didn't know I'd be talking to a little elf this evening.
Yeah, lots of Eva and her elves.
She's now, there's a quiet elf.
Exactly. A quiet elf, exactly. Natasha Armstrong is back with us as well, briefly, because she may soon be heading to Australia. This is after she's been to Japan, and obviously got proposed to her in Japan, in a back alley in Japan, actually. It's quite amazing. Where the cherry blossoms were raw. It's just so romantic. It's great, you know. Where all the litters are out, basically, and it's great.
I'm so pleased I told you, Alex.
I think it's a fair comment on that side of things. And, of course, Houston, Texas. We've also got Ace Dancer. Although I gather, Beverly, you don't do as much dancing as you once used to, Beverly. Is this true over in Greece?
Well, obviously I don't do that much dancing anymore, Alex, but I did try to. You know, that used to be
Sarah keeps dancing.
24/7.
Exactly.
I keep dancing. I do a couple of classes every week down London. Mm-hmm. Yeah, without fail.
Pineapple Studios?
No, Dance Works.
Oh, yeah. I knew the Pineapple Studios because I used to work with a few folk there and back in the day. Rosie Heatherington, of course.
We've seen you in your leotard.
Yeah, and the truth is, actually, it was a tutu. It was a purple tutu, and it is on Facebook if you want to actually look at that. So,
I'd love to see that.
The only reason I wore the purple tutu, and again, it was taking one for the team, was because the equine gymnasts who effectively said that they wouldn't do an interview unless I actually got into the purple tutu. So,
Good lord.
And you did. Absolutely. Yeah, it's there. It was a photograph taken by your namesake, Natasha Tuck, who took that particular photograph. Lincolnshire Show. 2011, I believe. But yeah, so leotards, maybe another line, etc. Leg warmers, of course, on the other hand. There's another sort of aspect. But also in the studio, another Alex Bilton.
Yes, hello.
And from Essex, Emily Boston. Because hello. A lot of people from Essex went to Boston. Anyway, Emily's with us as well, making her debut on the production because, it was Abigail LeMay who said, you should contact the Midweek Drive.
Yeah, Abigail LeMay used to be on the Midweek Drive, mm-hmm. and I was in a module with her last year in English, and we're really good friends now. We speak often, and we're always in touch, and she said that it was good fun, a good place to go to learn about the radio, so here I am. Yeah.
So, obviously, Abigail LeMay is clearly a pathological liar, so never mind, we'll rock our way through that. Also, we have, we mentioned Natasha, we've got Alex, we've got Eva McDonald, entertainer, Tessa Snart is with us, we've already said Tessa, and Beverly. There we are, that's the team. Who do you want to speak to? Or would you, Sarah, would you like to go straight into Tessa's tune of the week? Her top tune, which normally she delivers via the telephone, but this time round, she's in the studio, in the house, to use that 80s vernacular, which is so embarrassing. I can't believe I actually used it, but, you know,
well, I'd
every
like
so
to
often.
Go to Tessa's top tune.
Whoa.
Oh, okay.
There we are.
Okay. Sorry, that was me just moving the microphone. That was a lovely pause there as the click coming around. I'm very impressed with the tension building that was done. Would you like me to introduce it, Alex?
Well, I think that's what we normally turn to.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Okay, then. So, the good old Bob Harris, as you will all know, has said that Lisa Redford is one of our finest singer-songwriters, and we're about to listen to her brand new single, I Just Can't Forget. And this is the third single from her acclaimed EP, Edge of Love. And Lisa is quite into music, and she writes for a magazine. She actually also has her own music show. And yeah, this is a really nice song. It's quite soulful country, and it's got rich harmonies. So I think you might.
What are the
like
chances of Robin Pierce writing this?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm a bit biased. I'm going to like the song, but you know, country is evolving.
Do you think Sarah might like country?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
I do know that Sarah has been prone in times to actually go through a yee-haw moment or two. But
really.
There's always a bit of dolly in everyone.
It's just changing now, isn't it, country? It's not just the traditional country and western that everybody thinks. So, anyway, this is Lisa Redford, I Just Can't Forget.
I've been holding on to memories. So tightly I won't let them go. Words and pictures, they surround me, and I'm lying here alone, thinking of the tender moments ever since the night we met. All the times you just can't forget. I've been staring out the window, watching time pass me by. See the blackbird in the oak tree, makes me wish I could fly. You stay closer in my mind. But I hope you will be happy moving on without regret. All those times you won't remember, I just can't forget. Well, I guess you
no relation to Robert, presumably, Lisa Redford.
Not that I know of. No, not Ren, no.
Sarah Huntley, what did you make of I Just Can't Forget?
Oh, it was very soulful, terribly soulful, yes.
Soulful.
Oh, there you go.
Beverly Spencer, I Just Can't Forget?
Yeah, it was nice. It was slow and she had a beautiful voice.
Eva MacDonald.
I liked it. It was a chilled out song.
The sort of number you do as a cover version, really.
Is it what?
You are a trained classical singer. That's
true.
Is,
oh, yeah. That would be quite an alright song to sing.
Quite an alright song to do.
I could probably fit that, but you know.
Please indeed.
But, no, I liked it. It was chilled, it was mellow. It was easy listening, I like it.
Chilled and mellow. Emily Boston.
I wouldn't say I listen to country often, but I felt like it was quite emotional. Aww. I felt like it's something that I'd listen and really chill out to. It's quite relaxing.
So
I did, I liked it. Yeah, definitely, but I liked it a lot.
Alex Bilton.
Yeah, I thought it was really nice, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Playing it again on Monday?
Yeah, sure, yeah. Two plugs now. <He's>
We're building his playlist, you know, so it's yeah. Sort of thing, so what Sheffield people need. And Natasha.
Yeah, I thought she had a beautiful tone of voice. I think it would definitely be something I consider more traditionally country, like we were talking about, like genres. Yeah. This is, I think, more the
bottom line, Natasha, would your prospective mother-in-law go for that?
Oh, she would love that.
Because, Sarah, as we know, mother-in-laws can be challenging at best of times, really, and if you're going to slip some country in there, you've got to be very careful, I would have thought. Very careful. Who knows what could happen.
I agree.
It's just sensitivities to this.
I've got a Welsh one.
That's exactly.
Pretty much.
You know, and country and Welsh, it can go either one of two ways. It can be either...
No, she's into our opera.
Sorry, I was having a momentary Pavarotti sign there. No, just don't go there. Sorry, you probably didn't catch the early part of the show. William Coles was obsessed with getting a blind date for me. I don't know why, but still, it's one of the things he wants to do. And he claims, he put the question to the team, where should we actually go? We had various suggestions, including Bingo Hall, which was William's suggestion. No, it's not going to happen. Nice Italian. Are there such things? In terms of, sorry, there's the Italian sort of line gone completely. Of course, Roberto Mancini, wonderful Italian. Beverly said theatre. I think he was sticking to theatre. I haven't even gone there. I mean, literally, I've left. Apparently, her name's Virginia.
Oh, you're getting all kind of all hot under the collar. No,
believe me, I'm
well,
not.
That's
a lesson. But where would your ideal blind date actually be?
Mine or yours?
No.
Tell me
about yours. Look, how long have we known each other? I think go for the whole thing. What would you recommend?
I think I would like to be sitting in a bar in Amsterdam.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God, that sounds a bit bad, doesn't it?
Is that a red light sort of area that we've got there in Amsterdam?
No, not in a red light district.
One of those cafes that you can actually get noxious sort of lines for. It's not going to happen, I tell you.
Yeah, no. I would like to be sitting in a bar and some lovely Dutchman come up to me and offer me a glass of hot wine.
Nice.
While we looked out at a cold, crisp, slightly romantically lit canal.
Oh, that's perfect. And as I'm not Dutch, I'll say we'll go with that. And the whole sort of sequence, the answer is wonderful. You've opened up so many wondrous things there. Do you know, Sarah, we've still got to squeeze in a mystery voice and Zoe Jameson from Northern Ireland and Robin Pierce. So it's going to be a shorter than usual telephonic connection, but...
That's okay.
Well, you know, is it okay, though? Is it really? You know, is it? I mean, I know Phil Leonis isn't here, but...
I'm thinking of my Dutchman on my mythical blind date now, so that will get me on the drive.
A midweek drive, bringing your family fantasies to life. Yes. it's Bass is Die Plane. Die Plane. That's a reference probably only Robin Pierce would get. Or maybe Beverly. Do you remember Fantasy Island? Yeah. Die Plane, Bass. Die Plane. That's all he said. Is it any wonder he ended his life a few years later? Okay, moving on. Eva, last two questions for Sarah, please.
Yes, Sarah, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Yes. I feel in a more mellow mood coming out of work now. I can drive home in a mellow moment, yes.
And
yes.
Eva?
Thank yes. you.
I thought you were having an Eva moment there. It's all right, carry on.
Oh, no, because I don't have headphones, so I don't know when you finish it.
This is the way for, you know, Eva is always... and yet she doesn't say anything, bless her. It's like she goes into a hotel in Great Yarmouth, she wonders why she can't get into the room, it's because she's got the wrong key. She's been given key number 5 for door number 1. It's astounding. What can you do? What can
I'm
you do?
Like to say it's just,
you've been in the hotel cup foyer for the whole sort of scenario. That's amazing. Anyway, next question.
Will you be joining us again soon?
I hope so. Yes,
and more than that, Tessa and myself will be joining you, Sarah, on a London trip in the very near future. Okay. Yeah. Week on Friday, yeah. December the 6th. Yeah. Yourself, Richard Fitzwilliams, and more. Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Right. Cool. Away goes the son of John, Julian Lennon, and Too Late for Goodbyes. Well, it's never too late.
too late, really. Especially when we've got a mystery voice online, and this mystery voice is somebody who a few people in the studio will know, some people may not, but as when you graduated to a mystery voice, you really have, it's like being in the calendar in so many ways, and you know, you've had that experience, Natasha, Eva's had that experience, so our mystery voice will have the experience. Mystery voice, would you like to say something to us from wherever in the world you happen to be?
Yeah, I was trying to think of a sentence, but I couldn't think of one. So who knows my voice?
who knows her voice?
I know her voice.
Oh, yeah, Emily Buxton knows her voice. Yeah. Who would you say this person is,
this
Emily?
This is my very good friend Abby from Canada. Oh.
Who specifically sort of said you should, you know, is responsible for me being on the show. And you know what, Abby, from the original letter or email that Emily sent me, I thought she was also in Canada. So I said, we'll do a phone link with you, etc. And then I saw a link. I said, you're in Lincoln. You might as well be in the studio. What the hey? You know, little thinking we'd have another $5,000. It's okay. It's all good. So, Abby, you have been tuned into the programme. And what have you made of the whole event from your place in Canada as the second Canadian on the programme? Honestly, you know, it's like North American crazy.
Know. I'm a little confused. Who invited the other Canadians?
I know. I mean, we try to fulfil your particular gap and lacunae in the whole system, Abby. But, you know, at the end of the day, you left a Lemay-sized hole in the whole piece, which frankly, is we're still having difficulty actually overcoming. I mean, if I just point this thing around, I mean, is that not the cutest Abby Lemay kind of image of the woman in orange? Exactly.
Is it Ian? The orange sweater. Are you showing them the orange sweater picture again?
It is you in the orange sweater picture.
It's
just wonderful. You know?
I'll never let it down. Are you going to constantly do it?
Well, no, because your pictures in the calendar do not have any orange sweater in at all. Okay?
So, perfect.
Exactly. So all's well with that. So what have you made of the program, Abby? As I used to say, you were kind of the light to Ben Lewis's darkness. Sorry, Ben. But, you know, you opened up so many ways that Eloise would have been on the show if we had sufficient sort of space for her. But no, she's actually taking part in the Stone Tapes and will probably arrive from a trip to Lincoln Cathedral, which is where she's been based.
Right.
But, you know, in terms of the whole thing, because you may have gathered we've got, as well as Emily, Alex Bilton, relative newbies to the whole sequence. Actually, so is Beverly Spencer, actually. And then, of course, you got the seasoned pros of Natasha, who you never actually met because she graduated a few years ago and is back with us now. I don't think you did. Did you do a phone link with
that? I don't believe we ever met.
No. Eva.
Hello, Abby.
Exactly. And when Eva tells you the tale about two water jugs, what hilarity will ensue. Eva, I think you need to share the two water jugs tale.
No, really?
It's 28 minutes past 6 o'clock on a Wednesday evening. It's November before Thanksgiving. We need the two water jugs.
Well, I hope my first entertainment's manager isn't listening.
It's okay.
So I just told
She's building the anticipation here, so it's going to work.
Okay, so it was the second week of my first holiday park, and we had family wrestling.
Of course.
Family wrestling, obviously, that goes around to
always a classic.
All the parks, honestly. It's a holiday park thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they were setting up the wrestling ring. You know how you've got the massive metal bars? Basically, the boxing ring has metal bars in it.
Isn't that a health and safety issue?
I mean, it stops them falling off. So probably.
Way forward. Concussion, minor.
Yeah, but yeah, anyway, so I went to get two jugs of water for the wrestlers, was walking back, somehow did not see these massive bars in front of me.
No. Went right through them.
Went right over exactly. them with these water jugs. Yeah. The water went everywhere. Covered the dance floor. Got my manager wet as well.
There was quite literally murder on the dance floor.
And then he just looked up at me, and he just gave me this.
Eva.
What kind of look? And he was like, "How on earth did you not see that?" And I was just like,
"Because it ceased to exist in my version of reality."
My goodness. I was known as a very clumsy one from that day forward in the
Eva,
company.
Eva, the very clumsy one. Yeah. That's quite profound. Actually. I think that deserves a round of applause. What's been your most embarrassing experience as a dancer, Beverly?
Oh gosh. I've had quite a few actually. Yes.
Anything with water jugs?
No.
That's to come, obviously.
No, I've fallen
backwards over a speaker which was at the back of the stage.
God.
And when the rest of them did the walk round, they saw me go.
This wasn't in the choreography. Who's done this?
And Liz, the seasoned pro, she said, just crawl off the stage.
Yeah.
It's always better when it's on stage, isn't it?
It's hilarious.
And if you're heading down the acting world, Abby, I know we've spoken about this because there's more to life than being a supporting artiste in Titans. Awesome though it was. Remember, just crawl off the stage.
is
good advice. It's good advice.
Good advice.
We're so clumsy.
However, Abby, what have you made of the show? Who would you like to speak to? Who would you like to chat to? And so on. I mean, I gather that Emily likes you so much you're even going to be having Emily over in the States before too long. It's amazing. You know, it's frightening, really. But anyway. What would you like to discuss about what you've heard so far before we go to Robin Pearce in Wales?
Oh, well, of course, I love Emily, so I'd love to speak to her. But, Alex, first, I need to hear more about this date that's coming up.
Oh,
I'm
going to be
following up. A blind date, that's so fun.
You may say that. There are people who would actually say hot pokers in the eye would actually be more preferable than this particular aspect, which, of course, would technically make it a blind date, quite literally. So it's a serious point. So, so far down that line, otherwise, you know, be very careful. Children are listening. I'm minded of a line that was taken by Inspired On Air this very afternoon, which is almost suitable for this particular moment. I might share it with William, who, of course, you have met up with. I mean, I suppose it wasn't a blind date when we sent you, Abby, up to Edinburgh to actually, you know, connect with William, because you kind of knew each other through the radio show, didn't you? Yeah. It's not like some...
I guess, yeah. I don't know if it could be considered a blind date, considering I know what he looks like.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It was definitely blindly set up, I guess.
Yeah, there's a difference between blindly setting up. The phrase is basically creating awe but not creating terror. Okay? That's creating awe but not creating terror.
I see.
I'll try that, work that into the seminar sometime tomorrow, Beverly. It's going to be difficult because we've got the swinging 60s, but still. What can I say, Abby? I mean, obviously, you'll be the first to know. But we'll just have to see how that goes. Anyway, carry on. Carry on, Abby. Let's move on from that particular aspect.
All right. Well, I'm curious. Well, first of all, Eva, I hope you're doing better. And Emily, how's the disc going?
That is an awful question. Not something I want to talk about. No, I'm joking. It's going. It's all right. It's not too bad. So you see my progress. I text you quite a lot about my breakdowns with it. So you're aware of it.
Emily is my academic inspiration. She's the only one, or, I mean, her and one of my friends, Owen, they were the only ones that could get me to go to the library or to get me to go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit weird being over here and have nobody telling me that they've booked a spot in the library. I kind of just have to figure it out on my own, and it's not going well. So
you are still in our group chat, though. So every time we say we're going to the library, you can be there in spirit.
I'm just going to have to come. Just on a different time zone, that's all.
Yes, definitely.
Whereabouts are we connecting with you in Canada today, then, Abby?
Well, today I'm in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
It is 1:30, and I'm just getting ready. I'm actually going to pick up my friend who I met on exchange. She's flying in from North Carolina today, so she's going to be here for a while.
Hmm. This is the life and times of Abby LeMay. It's amazing. There's a series that's just waiting to be written about that. Beverly, any questions you want to put to Abby about life, the universe, or anything, really?
Oh, he's probably on the spot.
He likes to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I figure, you know, Zoe James is not in Northern Ireland, so let's continue.
Yes, have you got on all right without... Emily,
without science fiction, and indeed,
your life.
A term of science. I mean, Abby, why did you not persuade Emily Boston to sign up for science fiction? I mean, what can I say? You know,
I've already been asked this, Abby, before.
I have persuaded a few of my friends to get in there. I think two of them are currently in your science fiction class, but some people have requirements that they have to fill. All right, you cannot come down on Emily. I'm sure she's going to learn enough of science fiction from you on this show. Okay.
Well, she's got The Only Way Is Essex Girl on tomorow, so that's going to be
which
nice.
I'm very excited.
I'm so excited. I'm going to tune in. So it better be good. You better give her lots of time.
Yeah. Bearing in mind that in, unless of course you're listening to the podcast, in Canada the time tomorrow morning will probably be about 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning. If you are tuned in, you've got to send us a text to prove that is the case, actually, Abby, because, you know, I'll give you a shout out, but, you know, if it's live, it's live. Tessa, because you never actually had the joy of meeting Abby Lamone.
No,
kind of paths didn't cross.
So what's the connection? How long was you over here, and how did you meet Emily? Was you on the same? Yeah. What's the connection with
Emily?
We were in the same program. So I was here last year, so it was from fall to spring.
Okay.
And I met Emily literally on my first class ever. So my first ever module in England, I met Emily and a few of my other friends who I'm still very close with, which is lovely. But I wouldn't actually have spoken to Tessa. We just haven't met face-to-face.
So we have on a phone.
She's had songs on the show, right?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Tessa,
yes, she
forgets so often.
Oh, really, I honestly, I have such a forgetful brain. Please don't take it personally.
It's hard with me.
That's really lovely. So I'm guessing it was kind of like a placement over here.
Like a placement. No, she just randomly turned up. As Canadians tend to do. They say, where do I fancy going? Is it Greece? Is it kind of Finland? Aww. Is it Norway? I'll just turn up here.
That's great that you've kept in touch, though. I like that.
I know. I'm going to come back again. I miss it so much.
I'd like to mention as well that when Abby come over here, I actually, she stayed at mine in Essex, and wow. She'll definitely be tuned in because she has a newfound love for Essex ever since visiting me. So
I love Essex. I do.
She loves it. Fantastic.
See, these are the kind of things that actually great radio is made of. We'll work our way through that. Abby, who would you like to ask you the last two questions, please?
Oh, Emily has to do it.
Yeah, it's crucial because it's her first show and she could suffer from
it's her first
but,
show.
You know, we feel she might
so
do
if
it.
If she
yeah.
screws it up, it's fine. Yeah.
If you screw this up, Emily, it'll be fine. Okay, sucks. Go.
Because you've been tuned in, I have two questions. One is just about you personally. How's your studies going? Because I know it must have been hard to readjust back to Canada.
Totally missed the point, haven't you, really?
Oh.
Oh, does it have to be the two questions?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Fascinating that that might be. Exactly.
That's quite a good question.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is a good question. But we're not going to ask it. Because on my script it says, has she had a reasonably interesting good television town council?
I'll change it over. Bear with me.
Thank
okay,
you.
So Abby, again, I'm going to shoot you another question. Have you had a good telephonic link with us this evening?
In fact, I have. I loved it.
That's good to hear. And will you be back on the show with us soon?
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah,
good.
Very
that's
soon.
Good to hear.
And your reward for that, for all the citizens of Essex, is Ukrainian cowboy.
Oh my god.
Personally, I'm amazed that isn't used as the theme to the Stone Tapes, but never mind. Robin Pierce, back with us from Wales, and about to actually say farewell to Eva, who you almost met in person at Great Yarmouth, but then sadly didn't. So, away you go. She's got her headphones on. Well, not quite, but she's set off to do various other bits and pieces. I've now talked through the whole thing. I've filled whilst Ukrainian Cowboy is in the background. Not, obviously, one of Eloise Sheehan's favourites. I don't know why. Would you like to ask Eva what she's made of her whole experience on her first midweek drive for some time?
Well, you know, first of all, I've got to say how disappointed I am that we never seem to meet. We are like ships in the night, Eva. What's going on?
We never.
It's that restraining order, isn't it? It's putting you off.
Oh, no.
Whatever.
How was it in the studio tonight? You
dealt
consistently against overwhelming odds.
Yeah, no, it was a good show. I liked it. I like the
jugs of water and electrical wiring. That's the next stage.
Yeah, we seem to have like very clumsy moments here in the studio.
And Eva will be bringing comedy moments to a venue near you in the very near future. Eva, take care. We'll see you as head elf in the very near world future. I'll give a few more moments of your favourite Ukrainian cowboy. Somehow I suspect that won't be being featured on the Morning Breakfast Show. Although, then again, what's wrong with some Ukrainian cowboys, Alex, eh? Okay. And relax. Robin, the floor is now yours.
Tessa.
Yeah, she's almost getting the headphones on now.
I'll wait for you.
Yeah,
I'll
it's all right. She's saying farewell to Eva, and it's quite a task. You know, it's a bit like, it's like brief encounter, but expanded. It's amazing.
Sorry, Robin.
Hello.
Hello. I was saying farewell to Eva.
Not forever.
Not forever. Just for this evening.
Yeah.
Now, I've been rather scathing about some of the music inflicted upon us.
Okay.
But I just wanted to point out, Ukrainian cowboy, that's how you do country music.
It's very spaghetti western, isn't it? You see, Robin,
exactly.
Country music is evolving and there's so many, it's such a crossover
Country music can only ever mutate into something worse.
One day I'm going to bring you something just as good as you, Ukrainian cowboy, but I have to give everybody their turn.
Tonight,
I don't know.
You almost did tonight.
Really?
I didn't mind that song. I did not hate it.
Oh.
I did not want to tear my ears out. I did not want to claw at my eyes.
Oh, well, that's good. You see,
it wasn't bad. Not bad at all. It didn't sound too, you know, country. And there were no lonesome cowboys lamenting a lost love or a truck or a sheep.
No.
And there was none of that thigh-slapping, foot-stomping nonsense that makes me want to go homicidal.
So, okay then. So I'm kind of seeing what you like. So this was a soulful country track. So you obviously quite like the traditional stuff, or the spaghetti western stuff. So you're quite traditional
in
country.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Look, if you start playing your fiddle and your mouth organ and you go, yee-haw, I am likely to punch somebody.
Okay. All right then. Okay, so maybe you don't like some traditional country.
My hand, their throat.
I kind of know what you like now, so
okay.
I'll see what I can find you for next week.
Natasha, does this resonate with your prospective mother-in-law?
I think she actually likes the more traditional stuff as opposed to the poppy stuff.
Yeah,
so, she's a bit of a
Natasha, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I'm doing the rounds here. Did I understand earlier on that you said your mother-in-law is in Wales?
No.
All right.
My mother-in-law is in Houston. I believe that was the lovely Sarah that we were talking to.
Mm. Oh, right. Because I was just going to ask, what part of Wales?
We'll find out.
It's a small country. I might know her. You never know.
Yes. Was that all you wanted to ask, Natasha? Or was it just a case of, well, that's life, really?
That's life.
Yeah.
Always better than the alternative.
Yeah. Three more fine folk in the studio for you to talk to before we have the summing up and the awarding of the Contributor of the Week or Contributor of the Midweek Drive
Award. Hi, Eloise.
No, she's not here. She's refused to actually come into the studio.
It's very confusing
because
this week.
Quite simply,
she's just standing out. Petulant.
She's Ukrainian cowboy. She, who knows? She's going to be. She'll get in time for the stone tape. So that's the important
thing.
Okay,
what you need to do is open the studio door and leave a little trail of chocolates, and she'll come in. But don't make any sudden moves. You will startle her.
Fair point, actually. This is well worth noting. It's one way in which you can persuade Eloise to come in, because the Sheehan beastie can be quite timorous in many ways. But
the Sheehan beastie?
Yeah.
Oh, I do like that.
I thought so. By the way, it works. Anyway, carry on, Robin.
Right then. Okay, Lillian Lindsay, the first woman dentist to... I didn't know that. See, this is what I like about the midweek drive. I learn things.
That's good.
I had no idea. When was that, by the way?
Late 19th century, early years of the 20th century.
You know what? That is actually further back than I thought it would be.
Mm.
I don't know why, but yeah, okay, I'm surprised. Right, I need to talk to you about this blind date setup again this week, I'm afraid.
How many times?
Because it seems to be going on, I've written the name Virginia down.
Yes, yes.
And I've also written Bingo Hall down.
Yeah.
Now, can I be frank with you,
please,
here, Alex?
Please, please, yes, exactly.
I don't think that a Bingo Hall actually fits your Tony Stark-esque playboy persona. You need to up the game a bit.
And what it would do for the artificial heart, I just do not know, frankly.
Well, indeed. Indeed. You don't want to overtax it.
No, that's shrapnel.
Because, you know, yeah.
Could be all over the place. Before I know where I am, I'm going to do the Mandarin. You know, still. Sad day, actually, Robin. Today, the official line that Marty World of... Marty World, going to
challenge the Marty World.
Sorry, the Marty
it's
World.
A Marty World out there.
Yeah, the Mighty World of Marvel has ceased publication.
Benigni oh, I bought the it. Very first issue yeah. back in 1972.
72, with Spider-Man, the Hulk, and
the
Human
Fantastic
Torch, Fantastic Four on there as well.
Yeah.
Eloise has just opened the door without chocolate. She's closed it again. We've scared her away. Carry on, Robin.
You don't do much hunting, do you? But what's worried me most about you this particular time,
mm-hmm.
Alex,
yeah.
is a story. I have a note here.
Mm-hmm.
Alex wore a purple tutu.
Yes. I knew that was going to be a
shocking moment for me too.
Now, okay, if you're persuaded thusly to wear outlandish attire,
only in certain instances,
come into the studio, then next time I'm in Lincoln, I would expect to see you dressed as Spider-Man.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. it's an intriguing line, but no, I'm afraid that the purple tutu was possibly a one-off. I'm looking to sort of track it down there back, way, way back in the day.
If it's on the internet, I will find it.
You were the first person to actually see that.
Brilliant.
And I feel I was doing my journalistic duty.
Message it to me.
Yeah. Okay.
The colour does wonders for you, Alex.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Does it bring out his teeth?
With the style. Yeah, it looks good.
I think it does.
Let's progress. Robin,
moving straight on.
Yes.
Matthew. I didn't hear much about your book, and I don't know if I want to buy it because you didn't talk much about it. Mm. Why didn't you talk much about your book, Matthew?
Possibly because he knows that Emily Boston will be buying it.
That is very true. I can confirm I would buy it if you spoke more about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be buying it anyway because I enjoy that kind of topic of books. Yeah. So.
I would have liked to have heard a little bit more.
Okay.
But okay.
Yeah. We have 7 minutes of the news to actually fit in as well. And sometimes it's
this is true.
It's a time issue, isn't it, sometimes?
Now, let me see. Where do we go on from here? Oh, Els Bailey. I did like that song.
Well, that was good, wasn't it?
I did. It was a great song. It was bluesy, yet upbeat.
Mm.
And I think it's the voice.
And Robin was actually with me in Great Yarmouth when the Rugby World Cup was actually on. He did maintain that he was not an alpha male, and then I challenged him to a trivia question with respect to the connection between John D.F. Black, Hawaii Five-O, and Star Trek, which he then actually conceded I actually had scored on that particular aspect. He then stomped off and said, I can't cope with this anymore, rugby and the World Cup. And I just had to sort of see the thing sort of end in its own way. But it was a good interview.
And Alex flaunting his alpha male masculinity as I was finishing my breakfast.
Yeah, you don't flaunt it, really. It just is, you know, that's the important
thing. It was just there, wasn't it? I conceded, and I slinked off to, I don't know, be effeminate somewhere, I think.
You know, sometimes we males, we just get far too competitive, basically.
If we were stags, we would have locked horns.
Oh, my goodness.
It would have frightened the citizens of Great Yarmouth, I can tell you.
It would have shut up that rugby crowd.
You know, anyone tuning in now is going to be wondering what on earth is going on.
I mean, the noises they were making, I couldn't even spell, and I'm supposed to be a writer.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Interestingly enough, where are you on the latest edition of the longest-running magazine of sci-fi, horror and fantasy, Starburst?
Where am I indeed? Mm. I think I've done a couple of reviews in this one.
Well, that's
I think I did book reviews. Oh. And I did some uncredited stuff on the Star Wars thing.
Splendid. That's what we need to do. I thought we'd been getting...
And I'm, you know, Star Wars, Starburst. Mm. Remember who you work for, Rob? Mm. They're in my very, very good books at the moment because I've got a trip coming up.
To Romania.
Out of the country next Tuesday and Wednesday. Yeah. It's a killer schedule, but hey, only the tough can survive.
You'll be in Romania, and what better place to talk to vampires than in Romania?
Absolutely.
Hence, Ukrainian
every
cowboy.
Horror movie fan.
There's the connection.
Not that Ukraine should be confused with Romania, because otherwise that could create civil war, and we don't know where we're going on that sort of basis.
No.
6 minutes to go, Robin. You're doing very well. Carry on, please.
Right then. As for the... Well, it was great hearing Abby again. I can only imagine that she was dressed in very bright orange that might even compete with Donald Trump's skin tone.
It's what Canadians do.
Well, absolutely. I was going to award the most valuable contributor to yourself because of that purple tutu.
Really?
But you were picked for the post.
Of course, yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's all right. I received it last week, so it's quite all right.
You did, yeah. You did. For services above and beyond the Call of Duty and tolerating my nonsense for far too long and for giving us a song that I actually enjoyed this week, I'm awarding it to Tessa.
Wow. Oh, thank you, Robin.
You are most welcome.
Thank you.
It's a classic no prize in the true sense of a no prize.
I hope that in some small way makes up for my vehement dismissal of some of the songs you played.
Oh, that's okay, absolutely. And like I always say, you know, we all have our own opinion.
Gemini Man, an odd choice of title
he
for a sci-fi movie.
In the bin.
Oh, no.
Given that back in the 70s, there was a short-lived TV series of the same name, which thankfully bears absolutely no resemblance to this film, although, despite the title that evokes either a superhero vibe or sci-fi expectation, it isn't actually a science fiction film as such, despite using a genre trope in such an ingenious way. And you gave it 8 out of 10 as opposed to 7 out of 10, which was expected, Robin.
Oops. Yes, I did. I enjoyed it. Yeah. That was the Gemini Man.
I decided to actually go and see The Aeronauts instead, and I still say that's a good movie. It's a nice, pleasant. Richard Fitzwilliams can't stand it. He can't even say the word. He actually has asterisks out the whole thing.
Oh,
it's
good.
Very good. Yeah, I know.
Still... Oh, dear. Richard.
Exactly.
For the first time ever, because I was never into this J.K. Rowling stuff, I watched Fabulous Beasts. On Sunday on disc.
And where to find them?
Yeah, yes. And where to find them.
Yeah, exactly.
First of all, I didn't know that Johnny Depp was in it. That came as a complete surprise. But here's a point I wanted to make. You talked about The Aeronauts just now. Mm-hmm. I've just seen The Fantastic Beasts, right? All through The Fantastic Beasts, I was thinking, wouldn't Eddie Redmayne make an amazing Doctor Who?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I even think that.
Done.
Yeah.
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 Well, yep. That's the word yep. of Natasha, and you heard it there quite clearly, and we haven't even spoken briefly to Beverly as yet, or indeed Emily or Alex, other Alex, who in past times you said we've frightened off with Ukrainian cowboys. So you've got a couple of minutes to actually go through that little roll call. Robin.
Okay, who wants to say what to me? Ask me anything.
Beverly.
Oh. Anybody who wants to ask Beverly. Anything.
Yeah.
She's just sitting there nice. Like,
she does this, and it's funny when it happens to somebody else.
Yes, well said.
Or indeed, Emily, I mean, have you enjoyed your experience?
Yeah, I was about to say, I've never been on the radio before, so this is my first show. And I've
you're
never,
doing very well.
Thank you, and I've never actually spoken to you either, so could you just tell me a bit about yourself and what you do? It'd be nice to get to know you a bit more, because I'll be on a bit more often as well.
Okay.
that might have sounded a bit over-optimistic. I meant tomorrow morning.
Is that a female voice of Bradley Walsh has entered? It's fantastic. Carry on, Robin.
Okay, my name is Robin Pierce. I am a full-time geek. I write for Starburst magazine. I write and edit bits of the Sci-Fi Weekender magazine. Alex has very kindly been allowing me to hang around this show for, well, most of this year, since about January. I also do the Stone Tapes, a podcast with my two unruly kids.
Piercing the Veil.
I run a website where I put the reviews that I don't get published anywhere else. I live
Does that
in
help,
Wales.
Emma? Does that help?
Yes. Good. You sound like a very busy bee. That's and,
I have a dog. Yeah, I gave up a perfectly well-paying job working in a castle, a real medieval castle, in order to spend far too much time at the multiplex and spend the rest of my life either online or reading comic books.
It's a state of reality.
It's been living the dream.
There you are. Sorted. Okay, who would you like to ask you those last two questions, Robin?
Let's go with Tessa.
Robin, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
It has been a blast.
And will you be returning next week?
Probably
not next week.
Romania.
Oh no, of course you are.
Romania.
What have we just been speaking about?
With the children of the nights make sweet music.
Okay. Well, will you come back to us, you know, after Romania? Tell us about it.
I will be back.
Okay.
I'll be back.
And I will try to select a track of the week that I think you'll like.
Really?
When you are back.
Oh, that is a challenge.
Okay, I know.
And it's going to be a more fulfilling challenge than Alex's.
I know.
Robin an earworm.
Well, I've already confirmed next week's, but, you know, that's it. So we'll try for the week after, or week after that, okay?
Lots of...
Okay, it can be foot-stomping hee-haw music next week.
Lots of country musicians, they actually sort of engage in wrestling at holiday camps just to actually be on the show, really. And then they get buckets of water thrown after them. It's amazing. Okay, that's it. We're pretty much out of here. Robin, you're a writer. What would you like us to say farewell with?
Tonight, let's go with the other podcast sign-off that I use.
Oh, yes.
Of Stay Different, Stay Weird.
Yeah, I think it works. Okay, Stay Different, Stay Weird, after three. Actually, before we do that, I've got to say, Beverly, enjoy the programme.
Yes, I always enjoy it.
That's all right. Tessa, yourself?
Very much so.
Good.
It's good
Natasha?
To be back. Excellent to be back, yeah.
Marvellous. Alex?
Yeah, it's been great, thanks.
Tune into Alex's show next Monday.
Yes.
He'll be with us in the morning. So will Emily. Great. In the morning. Fantastic. That's what it's all about. To Anna Lewis, William Coles, Matthew Hughes, Els Bailey, Sarah Huntley, Zoe Jameson, our mystery voice Abby LeMay, and Robin Pierce. Actually, Zoe didn't manage to make the show, so I keep dropping her in. She'll be there, etc. Those lines, stay different, stay weird. 1, 2, 3.
Stay different, stay weird.
Stay weird.